This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up 1 Peter with Shepherd the Flock and a Roaring Lion. Then we plow on into 2 Peter with Introduction, An Entrance into the Eternal Kingdom, and By Way of Reminder. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting.
In the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened, from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold an assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, What do you mean by this service? You shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so. As the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
Small Catechism, page 327. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things?
Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words which appear, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, these words are along with bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Passover was not just a symbol. It was a sign or a type. And types are real. Symbols are not. The symbols aren't bad. We've got loads of them around here. The altar, the pulpit, our vestments, the way we fold our hands and which direction we face. They're all symbols. And they don't need to be the way that they are. They are the way they are for a reason. And thank God for that. Symbols are here to teach us. Rites, ceremonies, rubrics, they're all good things. And these should be received as they've been passed down to us. This is the posture given to us by the Augsburg Confession, where in Article 15 it says, of usages in the church, they teach that those ought to be observed, which can be observed without sin, and which are profitable unto tranquility and good order in the church, as particular holy days, festivals, and the like. Any of these instituted by men and handed down to us ought to be received and observed. That can be observed without sin, provided that such rites and ceremonies and rubrics are not given to propitiate God or merit grace or make satisfaction for our sins. They're all made up, and that's okay. In fact, it's not just okay, they're even profitable to us. They teach us. They do bring us tranquility and good order. But no, these ceremonies, rites, and rubrics need not be the same everywhere. But it wasn't mere ceremonies, rites, or rubrics that Israel observed when they kept the Passover. They had God's own institution, His command, and His promise. On the 10th day of the month, they were to take a lamb from either the sheep or the goats, a male, a year old, unblemished, one per household, but if they were too small, they could join up with another. They were not to take a bull to show their piety, nor were they to take a bird even despite their poverty. It wasn't a symbol. It couldn't just be exchanged one for another, whatever might fit their context best. And then on the 14th day of the month, they were all to slaughter their lambs at twilight. Not earlier, not later. Not on some other day or what might have been most convenient to them. And then they were to take the blood, drain it into a basin, and with a hyssop branch, dip it into the basin, and from what I can only imagine would make the sort of sign of a cross where you dip it and then place it on the lintel, and then on the two doorposts of the house. Again, not as a symbol, not merely to teach, not just for tranquility or good order, but just as God commanded, the way that He commanded, when He commanded it, and at the time and order that He had commanded them to do so. they were then to eat it, roasted, not raw, not boiled, not however they preferred their lamb. Belts were fastened, their feet shod with sandals, staff in hand, and they were then to eat it. It is the Lord's Passover. And because it's the Lord's Passover, and not ours, it was to be done as he said, when and how he said it. But why? Our Lord tells us, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." And what is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Again, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door, and he will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you." Now, nowhere in our reading today does it say anything about the forgiveness of sins. But he does say something about life, and we might even deduce, at least for a time, something about salvation. And if Luther's right, which I think he is, and if the law of predicates holds true, which I think it does, then we might deduce something like this. Where there's life and salvation, there's also the forgiveness of sins. They go together. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. These are not the benefits of a symbol. They're not the benefits of mere rites or ceremonies or rubrics. They are the benefits of a reality of what God has done and will do for us. Forgiveness is never merely forgiveness. And life and salvation do not come without the forgiveness of sins. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The Passover wasn't a symbol. It was a type. It was real. And yet as a type, it was something real that really did deliver a real forgiveness. And yet it pointed to something else. It pointed to something even more real. Something more lasting. Something more permanent. Something more beneficial even for us. Now, I don't think we struggle so much with the fact of the reality of the body and blood of Jesus in the sacrament. God can do whatever he wants to do, and if he says, "This is my body," then it is his body, and we believe it. I just don't think we believe that it offers what we say it offers. I don't think that we believe that eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus actually does anything for us. How else do you explain missing church on Sunday because you've just got homework to do, or you're tired, or whatever the other excuse is, even if you're on vacation? If the Eucharist really is the life of the world, if our Lord truly does give us his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins, for our life, for our salvation, then how could we not be there for it? While we believe that God can do whatever he wants to do, even giving his own flesh and blood for us, we just don't believe that he does. We believe, rather, that what is outside of the church is the real world. That's the sort of stuff we see. It's the stuff we know, we experience. In the Eucharist, what we see is a fairly insignificant piece of bread and an even smaller sip of wine. What we feel coming back from the altar is hardly different than what we feel approaching the altar. Monday is hardly any different than Saturday. Our children still bicker. Bills still need to be paid, and cancer still eats away at our flesh. And these are the so-called real life problems that concern us. These are the real things that we do something about immediately. These are the real things that we will sacrifice just about anything else to make sure they are done. But when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we act as though it's just a symbol. And the more we see the Lord's Supper just as another rite of the church, just another ceremony, just another set of rubrics and so forth, or when we see church as something other than receiving the body and blood of Jesus, then who are you to say, O pastor, that you need to be in church? What's the point? Do you see how separating Jesus from the church leaves us either with an unnecessary church or Jesus as some bodiless phantom or spirit? But our Lord is not without his body. The resurrection was a resurrection of the flesh of Jesus. And what hung on the cross is poured out into the chalice. What was there on the cross, nailed and crucified, is given to you for the forgiveness of all of your sins, for your life, that the destroying angel would pass over you, that his blood that poured out, that now covers you, would be that sign by which the Lord passes over. And he does not destroy you, but he gives you life and salvation, because your sins are forgiven. So you with little faith, confess, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And precisely there, come to the altar. Come and eat and drink and receive what our Lord truly does promise you. The benefits not of some symbol or rite or ceremony or rubric, but the benefits of his real body and his real blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.